Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source.
A 20-year-old accused of hitting and killing an 11-year-old girl in the Raleigh Christmas Parade is now in jail. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. This morning at a bond hearing, the judge gave Landon Glass a $250,000 bond. This after he was indicted on an involuntary manslaughter charge last week. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan has been following this case. Chelsea, what happened in court today?
Yeah, it was a 45-minute bond hearing. We learned just an exorbitant amount of information, mainly about Glass's actions or really non-actions leading up to the day of the parade. Glass's attorney was emphatic today that Landon Glass didn't know why his brakes failed. However, the state said Glass is a danger to the public as he's failed to get the truck he was driving inspected many times over the course of several years. And the state said he didn't have an emergency parking brake in his modified truck. That truck that killed Haley Brooks. Landon Glass was surrounded by his family in court today, the family of Haley Brooks on the other side. Glass's attorney spent 20 minutes talking about Glass's character and that he's haunted by what happened and said he would do anything to bring Haley back. His attorney said there's nothing wrong with his truck prior to the parade or the day of. And on that day when he lost control of the truck, he pushed the brake all the way to the floor, and the passengers inside of his truck hit the air horn to warn people in the float and spectators. Glass's attorney said he pulled that parking brake and it locked up, but the state says Glass had no parking brake. The state said they tested Glass's truck and found no sign of brake failure. One big piece of information from the state is they said Landon Glass told police after the incident that about 6 months prior to the parade, he changed his brake fluid out and accidentally put in transmission fluid in and then tried to flush the line. After the bond hearing, we heard from Haley Brooks' family for the first time. Glass will now go to jail again with a $250,000 bond and house arrest if he bonds out. The judge said that he will not be allowed to drive in our state unless he has an inspected vehicle. We should also mention today, Glass's attorney stated they feel like they're at a disadvantage because they have no evidence in this case. Glass will also be tested today for illegal substances in his system as ordered by the judge. If he fails that drug test, the judge will double his bond.
And Chelsea Donovan live in studio with us right now. And the father, what he was saying there, talking about his daughter, Haley, just being a light and a free spirit there and just love to be around people. State lawmakers, meantime, today successfully overrode Governor Roy Cooper's veto of a bill repealing the requirement for a pistol permit. That'll make it easier for people to buy handguns in North Carolina without having to undergo a background check by their local sheriff. It's the first veto override since 2018. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live from the legislative building to explain how this all happened. Laura.
Jeff, the Republicans don't have enough votes to overturn a veto without some Democratic help in the state house. Well, today that help came in the form of absences. Under the state constitution, a veto override requires the support of three-fifths of the members who are present and voting. If all the members are present and voting, that requires 72 votes for the override. But that is one vote more than Republicans have. But if a couple of people are Democrats are absent, then the number required for the override goes down to 71, exactly the number of Republican members in the House. Now, three Democrats were absent today, Representative Cecil Brockman, Representative Tricia Cotham, and Representative Michael Ray. All three have been given positions in leadership by House Speaker Tim Moore. Those absences are what allowed the override to happen. During this morning's session, Moore did not allow any debate on the override, surprising and angering Democratic leader Robert Reeves. He wanted to talk about the recent shooting in Nashville and here locally.
To have a voice heard today on that issue. And it is so disturbing to me that we have gone to a place where we are elected to this body and a whole part of this body is being told, you speak when spoken to, you talk when we tell you to talk, you amend when we tell you to amend.
Now, in the meantime, the National NRA took credit for the override of the veto. Law-abiding citizens should not have to ask the government for permission to exercise their Second Amendment right, said NRA Director D.J. Spiker, state director, I should say. And we asked those three Democrats where they were during this vote, since they knew since yesterday that the vote override was scheduled for this morning. Representative Cecil Brotman's assistant told us that he was at urgent care this morning. We have still not heard back from Representatives Cotham or Ray. That repeal takes effect immediately. Jeff?
Certainly those questions that need to be answered. Laura Leslie, live at the state legislature. Thank you.
A cold front is on the way for Saturday. It will bring rain and wind to our area while the Dreamville Festival begins in Raleigh. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at the timeline for the rain and wind.
We're getting into that time of year where we have so many things that are happening outside as our weather turns nicer. And so we're looking at the potential for some rain to roll in late on Friday and continue for much of the day on Saturday. Of course, we had rain last night. That has cleared out. We're seeing some sunshine trying to break out across the area. And one of the exciting things happening this weekend, of course, is the Durham Bulls home opener. And that is Friday night. The crew is out here putting finishing touches on. They had the tarp over the baseball diamond earlier today. And now they're out there getting everything ready. This is the way Friday looks. We're going to start off with some sunshine on Friday with clear skies. We'll roll it out to lunchtime and it becomes partly cloudy. And then it clouds up during the late afternoon. There's 3 o'clock and you can see a sprinkle or two rolls through between 3 and 5 o'clock. Right now, it looks like it'll stay dry through around 8 to 9 o'clock, and that is as far out as this high resolution version of our computer model goes. That should take us through most of the game. Now, we do have rain that's approaching there Friday evening. At 9 o'clock, that rain is just north into Virginia. So it's something we'll be watching closely. We might have to end up adjusting that somewhat. But here's another look. This is the long range model, and we'll talk about Saturday as folks are headed to Dreamville. So late on Friday, we see the rain rolling in. We'll see the cold front coming through with a lot of rain across our area at noon. And at noon is when Dreamville begins on Saturday. It looks like by the time we get to 4 to 5 o'clock, that rain has moved mostly to the coast and we might begin to dry things out. So it doesn't look like it's going to last all night. And then on Sunday, high pressure builds in and we'll start to dry things out. But I know a lot of folks may remember 2019 when it was a muddy mess out there. And if it rains for 5 hours during Dreamville and all night before it, it's going to be a muddy mess out there. It's also going to be windy. That's going to be a big concern. We can see winds gusting 30 to 40 miles per hour. There'll be a lot of tents involved with Dreamville. And so that's another thing that organizers will have to be concerned about. It is going to be a warm day on Saturday at 81. And then we're cooler on Sunday back to sunshine and 68.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are continuing to follow the latest developments out of Nashville, Tennessee on that elementary school shooting. This afternoon, police say they are still working to find a motive in the killings. The shooter, 28-year-old former student Audrey Hale, included a map of the school and the plan to enter the building and carry out that attack. Other places were also mentioned in those writings, but investigators believe the school itself was targeted. Many are calling on the Department of Justice to investigate the shooting as a hate crime, but officials are saying they are focusing on identifying the motive of the shooter first. Now, earlier today, Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy insisted on getting all the facts when asked whether he would put forward any legislation on guns following that deadly school shooting on Monday.
All right, Michelle, thanks for that. Another threat of violence affects local schools. This time, 3 schools in Lee County were disrupted because of the threat and the investigation that followed. At this hour, authorities have said the threats are not credible. WRL's Ken Smith is here with what happened and how the school district is responding now, Ken.
You know, Jeff, as you might imagine, the last 24 hours or so have been extremely difficult for the leaders in Lee County. Their priority, of course, is making sure that all students are safe. Now, to that end, here's what we know. Classes were called off today at Lee County High School following an anonymous threat made against the school last night. Now, out of an abundance of caution, the sheriff's department there in Lee County encouraged school leaders to close that school today. Then about 9:30 this morning, school leaders at Southern Lee High School reported receiving a bomb threat. Students and staff were moved to a secure location while law enforcement officers investigated. No threats were found. That school is back to its normal operations. Also affected was nearby Sand Lee Middle. Now, because of its proximity to Southern Lehigh, the middle school went into a soft lockdown, but again, Sand Lee Middle back to normal operations. No threats were found again. As for Lee County High School, we're working to find out if classes will resume tomorrow. Look for updates on this story during our newscast right now in our news starting at 4.
All right, Kent, thanks for that. This morning, the FDA approved the first over-the-counter opioid overdose antidote. The nasal spray containing naloxone, the generic drug from Narcan, will come in a package of 2 doses. That is in case the person overdosing does not respond to the first dose. The Narcan spray can be given to anyone, even children and babies. The FDA commissioner said the approval is meant to increase access to the medicine.
The South Carolina judge who captured the nation's attention presiding over the Alec Murdaugh trial is talking about the case. Judge Clifton Newman spoke at his alma mater, Cleveland State, last night. He elaborated on a comment he made before sentencing Alec Murdaugh that has now become famous.
I don't believe that he hated his wife, and certainly I did not believe that he did not love his son. But he committed an unforgivable, unimaginable crime, and there's no way that he'll be able to sleep peacefully.
Judge Newman says he thinks allowing jurors to see the Murdaugh property in person may have helped the prosecution's case, even though the visit was a defense request. That property recently sold for $3.9 million, according to court documents. Alec Murdaugh is in prison serving 2 life sentences for the murders of his wife Maggie and son Paul.
A new survey reveals 62% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That's up from 60% in January. LendingTree survey shows 44% of Americans now have side hustles to make ends meet. Another report finds 69% of Americans either have a second job or they want one. Let's take a look at stocks this noon right now and how they are being affected here. Midweek noon hour, Dow Jones Industrial Average has been in positive territory all day. It is at 214 points up right now.
Next at noon, today is the deadline for all government personnel to remove TikTok from their devices. What lawmakers are saying about the ban.
Also, Levi Strauss has a new diversity plan, how it plans to implement artificial intelligence and why it's being met with harsh reviews.
Plus, new information on the consequences of school closings due to COVID. At 12:30, the serious concerns related to the setbacks.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center. Some big news out of Duke this afternoon. This just in on WREL Sports Fan. Forward Dariq Whitehead announced on Twitter today that he would declare for the NBA draft after just a single season at Duke. He is originally from New Jersey. He averaged 20 minutes per game over 28 games for the Blue Devils. He said in a tweet here, I'll show you, he says, I will always be a Blue Devil. The NBA Draft Combine is set for May 14th in Chicago, and the 2023 NBA Draft is set for June 22nd. That's happening at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. You can read more about this on WRELSportsFan.com.
He is one and done. Mm-hmm. TikTok is watching the clock as a potential nationwide ban looms.
Today marks the deadline for all government personnel to remove the app from their devices, a big step toward what lawmakers say is a new focus on cybersecurity and countering China. Lucas Tomlinson has reaction from lawmakers.
TikTok is watching the clock. Today is the deadline for all federal employees to delete the app from their government devices. It's part of a memorandum issued by the president last month, ordering all federal agencies to identify the use of TikTok on phones and computers, remove it, and block it in their offices.
We need to go beyond just this federal device ban. If you look at India, for example, they've imposed a full nationwide ban on TikTok. I think that's where we need to get to. And in fact, I think that's where we're going to get to.
Today's deadline covers more than 1.8 million employees of the federal government, but it doesn't apply to contractors until May 28th. The ban is expected to be just the first step in a broader effort to restrict TikTok nationwide, following concerns that it could be stealing personal data and feeding it to the Chinese government.
Clearly, there have been national security discussions as well associated with the data that company has in their possession. what they choose to do with it or what they are asked to do with it.
Right now, Congress is considering the Restrict Act, which would allow the Commerce Department to regulate or even ban apps like TikTok that are considered a security risk. But the Chinese government is pushing back, claiming TikTok is safe and Congress can't prove otherwise.
The U.S. government has not provided any evidence so far to prove that TikTok threatens U.S. national security, but it has repeatedly presumed guilt.
That was Lucas Tomlinson reporting. The Restrict Act is working its way through the Senate now. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy also says he supports it.
The rise of chatbots could have a significant impact on most people's jobs. A study from OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT, and the University of Pennsylvania says 80% of the U.S. workforce could have their jobs at least partially affected by AI. Researchers say 19% of workers could see at least 50% of their work impacted by GPT, which stands for General Purpose Technologies. The study shows mathematicians, interpreters, accountants, and writers are among the jobs who could see the most assistance with their work from AI. Levi's is responding to backlash over its plan to use artificial intelligence to have more diverse models. Levi Strauss & Company said it would collaborate with the studio to create computer-generated models who are diverse with different body types to supplement its human models. The plan drew strong backlash, with some comparing it to using digital blackface on models. Levi says it is committed to working with diverse models in real photo shoots to tell authentic stories.
Now the tornado ravaged Mississippi, where the long road to recovery continues. President Biden says he plans to visit that devastated state where more than 20 people were killed. NBC's Maggie Vespa is on the ground in hard-hit Rolling Fork, Mississippi.
This morning, swaths of the Deep South living in a devastating limbo. As the long road to recovery gets underway following the weekend's deadly string of tornadoes.
The whole town just demolished and gone. Blink of an eye.
The devastation also stretching into Alabama and Georgia. In hard-hit Rolling Fork, FEMA is on the ground to offer federal support while crews work to restore power and water out since Friday. In this community, craving even the smallest bit of normalcy, mail carriers unable to deliver to decimated homes hand out mail at the post office instead.
Seeing the aftermath, not recognizing anything, seeing people having to get out of places, seeing people hurt, I mean, it's very overwhelming.
Pastor Robert Gilliland rode out this storm in his home near the church. He moved here 3 months ago after another tornado destroyed his trailer in a nearby town.
Did you think, not again?
Well, actually, I didn't have time to think except to, how do I protect my wife?
At least 22 people died in the storms, including 2-year-old Aubrey Green. And with plans for funeral services taking shape, officials point survivors toward a network of temporary shelters and hotels. With thousands of homes damaged or destroyed, rebuilding will take time.
We're hurting. We know people can't keep us in the hotel rooms forever because they have to go on with their lives. And we just don't know what our next steps are.
It's part of that string of EF4 strength tornadoes hitting that area. Maggie Vespa reporting there. Mississippi's Governor Tate Reeves declared a state of emergency in all affected counties. President Biden previously issued his own disaster declaration to try to free up some resources in that area.
Well, no stormy weather for us today, but it is cooler temperatures out there, cooler than normal, and also very windy, as evidenced by the whirligigs in Wilson, Elizabeth.
They are moving around out there. We're seeing steady wind coming out of the north-northeast today, and that has brought some cooler air in. We'll definitely feel that tonight, but by tomorrow, it starts to shift to southwesterly, and that starts to bring the warmth back slowly. We are seeing partly cloudy skies here in Wilson at the Whirligig Park. Our temperature, 52 degrees, and that's about on track for where we were expecting to be at noon. We'll only climb to 61, even with all this sunshine this afternoon. And that's below normal. Our normal is 67 for today. Right now, it is 48 in Roxboro, 53 in South Hill, 52 in Goldsboro, 51 in Southern Pines. We're looking at a cool afternoon out there, too, with a high of just 61 degrees. Our normal is 67, and we'll be much closer to that tomorrow. The winds will likely die down just a touch, and we're going to see 76 Friday and 81 on Saturday. And, of course, at the beginning of the newscast, we talked about the fact that Friday looks pretty dry until fairly late. It may be 8, 9, 10 o'clock before we see much rain rolling in on Friday, but it definitely looks like we're going to have a front that brings us some showers on Saturday, and that could affect your outdoor plans. So many people coming, of course, to Dreamville, so that's going to be an interesting issue for sure. Bulls home opener on Friday. Temperatures are going to be pleasant at game time, 73 degrees. It's going to be warmer than today and tomorrow. We do have that potential for some light rain as we get into, of course, the next 24 hours. We'll have several runs of our high-resolution models. I'll be able to watch that timing very, very closely. Let's watch the wind. So our wind right now is coming out of the north, northwest at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. And you can see as it's coming out of the north, it's colored blue because it's bringing the cool air in. High pressure will slide by and gradually start to shift our wind around. And we'll start to see it first coming out of the southeast and then out of the south. And that's what's going to pump our temperatures back into the 80s by the time we get to Friday. We take a look at our calendar so far for March. We just have a few days left in March, and it felt like March was chilly. At least it did to me. We ended up with 10 days with temperatures below normal, so only a third of the month. I tell you, it felt colder than that to me. We started the month with a lot of 70s, and then, of course, on the 23rd, last Thursday, about a week ago, we had a couple of days in the 80s, and it's been fairly mild since then, with the exception of a fairly cool Sunday. It's been mild, of course, yesterday. Today is going to be cooler, but we'll likely wrap up the month with some warmer temperatures. Take a look at what could happen next week. Of course, April 3rd through 7th is spring break for Wake County schools, and there may be some other school systems that are out as well. We have a good chance of above normal temperatures as we roll through that first week of April, and that may make a lot of people happy. Back to the west, it looks like temperatures will end up below normal. Taking a look at our temperatures, again, a cool day today at 61. It's definitely going to be jacket or even coat weather tomorrow morning for me. 40 degrees. That's going to be chilly. There could be a little bit of patchy frost up near the Virginia line. There were 68 on Thursday. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. We'll see increasing clouds on Friday, but mild at 76, 81 Saturday. And, of course, back to 68 on Sunday. Coming up, we're going to take another deep dive into the timeline for the rain on Saturday. And after that, we warm back up to 80. So that is a true spring forecast for us here in Raleigh.
A lot of ups and downs. Elizabeth, thank you. Warm weather means the growing season has started sooner than usual. Today on our News at 4, we'll check in with the local strawberry farmer to ask about the quality and quantity of the berries ready for picking. Then at 5:30, car prices soared during the pandemic. But what are you actually getting for all that extra money you paid? Five on Your Side shows us the surprising new report.
Well, still ahead this noon, Beyonce's Ivy Park and Adidas cut fashion ties. Coming up, we'll tell you what prompted the split in partnership. Plus, Twitter has a new layer of subscription privileges. How the CEO plans to redesign Twitter Blue just for you.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we want to take you out to Massachusetts. One person is dead and two people are still missing today after a massive fire ripped through a multi-tenant home in New Bedford, Massachusetts. That's about an hour south of Boston. This is the building here. The fire broke out at 3:15 yesterday and tore through this 32-unit home. 24 people are without a home today. Five people are in the hospital. They say when emergency crews arrived, multiple people were actually hanging out of the windows waiting to be rescued. The man who died was a 59-year-old who lived on the fourth floor. No word on how this fire started. Wednesday, they said the building will be completely demolished.
High inflation is straining Americans' budgets, but you can still make the most out of your tax return. Financial experts say there are ways to use your refund to offset higher costs. First, the experts say sort your financial priorities. They advise paying off debt should be at the top of your to-do list. It's also recommended to save your refund in a high-yield account to earn more off of it. Also consider using your refund to get back on track with long-term savings goals.
More changes are coming for Twitter users. Starting in April, only verified accounts and accounts you follow will show up in Twitter's For You recommendations. Twitter rolled out that timeline in January where users can view popular tweets from people they don't necessarily follow. But only those who register for Twitter Blue, that's a subscription for $8 a month, will get to keep their verified blue check status. CEO Elon Musk says this change is to prevent AI bots from spamming feeds.
Beyonce and Adidas are ending their fashion partnership because of lackluster sales. Sales of Beyonce's clothing brand, Ivy Park, fell to $40 million last year. That's well below the $250 million the company had projected for sales. In 2021, people bought $93 million worth of Ivy Park merchandise. The partnership will end after Adidas releases Ivy Park collections of merchandise that are already planned for this year.
School administrators across the nation agree the pandemic heavily affected many students. Up next, lawmakers and health officials are weighing in on ways to reverse the damage.
Plus, some people reach for Himalayan sea salt as a healthier alternative to regular table salt. Does it live up to the hype? What you need to know. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The investigation continues, and a community is in mourning after that school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. The 28-year-old suspect, identified as former Covenant School student Audrey Hale, killed three children and three adults before being fatally shot by responding police officers. NBC's Jay Gray is there where a citywide memorial is scheduled to take place today. And we apologize for that. We clearly have audio issues there with Jay's story. Moving on, police in Rocky Mount are searching this morning for a man they consider to be armed and dangerous. Warrants are out for this man, Brendan Bryant, on several felony charges. Police say he's one of several people who fired shots during a fight outside a club on Northeast Main Street over the weekend. Officers say he shot the same woman several times. And at last check, she was in the hospital in serious condition. Two others were hurt in the shootout that followed. They were listed as stable in the hospital.
Dozens of people gathered at the state legislature this morning to demand support for LGBTQ rights. Speakers included members of Equality NC, Common Cause, El Pueblo, and Pro-Choice NC. The groups were there for Advocacy Day to show support for the introduction of LGBTQ plus inclusive policies and to urge legislators to oppose bills that are harmful to their communities. Speakers included, as I mentioned, those members. You see some of them there. Equality NC, Common Cause, El Pueblo, and Pro-Choice NC.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services announced today that community COVID-19 testing will close starting on Friday. Changes, they say, are also being made to the COVID-19 dashboard. They say the state will now incorporate COVID-19 data into the respiratory illness summary dashboard. So that means it includes tracking of flu, RSV, and other respiratory illnesses. They'll all be combined. COVID vaccine data will be published monthly until May 31st, and the state's COVID vaccine records will be available online until June 1st. After that, you will need to go to your doctor to get any records if you are vaccinated. Now, these changes are being made because COVID is becoming a routine part of public health and health our activities.
The newly created House Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic is looking at the consequences of mass school closures. Mike Emanuel shares serious concerns about setbacks in student development and physical well-being, along with increases in psychological distress.
A House panel investigating COVID-19 dug into the intended and unintended consequences of school closures during the pandemic. Congressman Wenstrup sent more than a dozen letters to several agencies and unions today, including the Centers for Disease Control and the American Federation of Teachers, writing his subcommittee is, quote, concerned about the potential for undue influence of non-governmental groups on CDC scientific guidance. The witnesses were more pointed.
So bottom line, the committee found that the closing of schools during COVID proved to be harmful to students for academic, mental, physical, and social development. Key lawmakers say the damage is done for a generation of students, and they suggest policymakers must really learn lessons from COVID to avoid making the same mistakes again.
Some of the largest employers in our area are addressing questions about their impact on climate change. The Raleigh Chamber of Commerce is hosting its inaugural sustainability conference. EPA Director Michael Regan, who is a native of Goldsboro, will speak at the event. He'll join companies in encouraging sustainable practices. Local leaders say the goal is to focus on not just big business, but local companies as well. And some of those companies speaking today include Lenovo, John Deere, and Fujifilm.
We're getting a clearer timeline of when the FDA knew about contamination at a baby formula plant. How many months went by until it issued a recall?
Well, it's the major U.S. city that is considering adding a delivery surcharge to every Amazon order. What all that money could end up paying for in those areas? Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Chatham and Wayne counties. The Friends of the Chatham Community Library Spring Book Sale kicks off tomorrow at the Chatham Community Library in Pittsburgh. It's a free event that runs through Saturday. The sale includes thousands of books, CDs, DVDs, and audiobooks. It also includes large collections of genealogy, vinyl, art, and gardening. For more information about the sale, call the library. North Carolina's newest Civil War Trails sign installed in Goldsboro commemorates the formation of the 135th U.S. Colored Troop. The sign reads, "They led the way." The story of the men in this infantry regiment was largely forgotten until recently. The new sign is part of the Civil War Trails program, which connects visitors to over 1,400 sites just like this one.
The FDA admits it knew about problems with some products at a major baby formula plant months before a recent recall. In September, a potentially deadly bacteria was detected at a Michigan plant where Enfamil Prosabi Simply plant-based infant formula is made. FDA inspectors were made aware of the discovery in November, but a recall of 145,000 cans due to concerns of cross-contamination was not issued until February. A federal agency is launching an investigation into Tesla over seatbelt failures in its Model X cars. The National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration is investigating two separate non-crash incidents. Some owners say their front seatbelts would not stay connected. The incidents reportedly happened in 2022 and 23 model years. The agency says about 50,000 Model X vehicles could also have the defect.
People in New York may have to slow down on placing online orders. A lawmaker is proposing a surcharge that would make customers pay more for every Amazon order. A quarter tax would be in addition to the state's sales tax. It would be automatically added to every online order in New York City. The Brooklyn lawmaker behind the idea says the money would help repair roads and infrastructure. And the big question about all this is how likely it is to really become a thing and catch on. No word yet on whether this specific issue is being negotiated as part of the state budget process between the governor and legislative leaders.
And happening right now in the WREL Life Center, we're following some breaking news out of Pittsburgh right now. Law enforcement say they have responded to several hoaxes reported at Pittsburgh area schools. They are responding to active shooter hoaxes there. They say multiple school districts in several different counties in Pittsburgh are experiencing this right now. Police say that there are no injuries, no evidence of any shootings at local schools. And Pennsylvania State Police also said that they are investigating phone calls that were made to those schools in the area involving those threats of an active shooter or a bomb threat. But so far, they have not found anything. They said they all had calls and similar content, and they have all been determined to be false so far. We're going to stay on top of this and bring you the latest from the Life Center.
Many people turn to Himalayan sea salt as a healthy alternative to table salt. Is that a good choice? One doctor shares the truth about the product.
Plus, scientists say they've discovered a way to prevent your fruit from spoiling too fast, the natural coating that could be available soon.
Consuming too much salt can lead to serious health conditions, including high blood pressure, heart disease, and stroke. Many people are turning to Himalayan sea salt as a healthier alternative. Marty Velasco-Hames shares some things you should know before you stock up on the gourmet rock salt.
Himalayan sea salt has become popular among consumers looking to get healthy. The salt often comes in pinkish-colored crystals, along with claims it contains special healing properties. But Mayo Clinic's Dr. Regis Fernandez says when compared to regular table salt, Himalayan sea salt is basically the same thing.
Salt is sodium chloride, and Himalayan salt or pink salt, rock salt or sea salt, all of these salts are also sodium chloride.
The American Heart Association recommends healthy adults consume no more than 2,300 milligrams of sodium chloride per day. That's the equivalent of about 1 teaspoon of regular table salt.
1 teaspoon of rock salt, sea salt, or Himalayan salt approximately has 2,000 milligrams, so they're very close. It's important not to overuse those.
The best choice, he says, is to limit your sodium intake altogether.
And that was Marty Velasco-Hames reporting. A new study finds that walnuts could help lower your risk of cardiovascular disease. Researchers from Pennsylvania found both gut and heart health benefits from eating walnuts. Participants with a walnut diet showed higher levels of bacteria for good gut health and acids that improve heart health in people. More work needs to be done, though, to support the findings.
Fruits and vegetables spoil quickly, right? But a scientist in Texas says he has cracked the code to extend their shelf life. In a 2020 study, the scientist and his team used egg-based coatings on bananas, avocados, and other fruits. They found that the fruits lasted twice as long. The team has now won a partnership for the Innovation Technology Translation Award from the National Science Foundation. This will help with the project's goal to develop low-cost, sustainable egg-based coating for fruit and vegetables, and ultimately to help improve access to healthy foods. Officers in Tampa, Florida took matters into their own hands when someone spotted a 9-foot alligator in the middle of the road in a residential area. Instead of waiting for the alligator trapper to arrive, they decided to take action. Two jumped on the gator's back, while a third wrapped a duct tape around its mouth. By the time the trapper reached the scene, all they had to do was muscle that alligator into the back of a truck. The alligator was read its rights and later released back into its natural habitat.
In Florida, they get read their rights.
Yeah, I guess.
Always leave it to the professionals, though. What a job.
What a relocation project for that, right? Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. We have got some clouds that are still hanging around here. What else is ahead?
We do. A little bit of sunshine trying to peek through. Our temperatures are going to stay chilly for the rest of the day today because of our northerly winds. But tomorrow, as we start to shift to southerly, we'll start to see temperatures creeping up. It should feel pretty nice on Friday. Friday's looking like a pretty good day. Watching the potential for some rain late Friday and then some rain on Saturday. And then behind that on Sunday, it looks good. Temperatures will be cooler in the 60s, but we'll see plenty of sunshine. Let's check out what's happening across the area. Now, we look at Goldsboro, and it looks fairly cloudy, but it's almost the angle that we're looking at. I'm going to show you the visible satellite image, and you can see just how many holes we have in the clouds and how breezy it is, too. Apex looking good, seeing some cloud cover there in Chapel Hill, but plenty of sun shining through it as we take a look from the Top of the Hill restaurant. And in Durham, it's just in the shade right there where our newsroom is, but it's looking good out there. We do have enough lingering moisture around the area for all these little teeny tiny clouds to pop up, but look at how fast those are moving across our area. And you can definitely see it's the cool air that's moving across our area where there's moisture from the rain last night, and it's creating these little puffy cumulus clouds that are moving along with that northerly flow. So pretty neat shot there as we take a look at that high resolution satellite. The low pressure system moving on out. We're going to dry things out some overnight tonight. It's going to be a cold night tonight. We're going to drop into the upper 30s and low 40s. We have this next system that is moving inland here in California, causing more problems for them. Parts of the state seeing as much as 3 inches of rain. And of course, in the mountains, 3 to 4 feet of snow for yet another storm system that moves in and brings just an incredible amount of snow to the Sierra. As this moves eastward, of course, it becomes a severe weather threat. A level 3 risk here in the upper Midwest, where we could end up with some tornadoes on Friday. But as that moves into our area, we don't see that same severe weather threat right now. There is no risk for severe storms from the Storm Prediction Center. Friday, we'll wake up to some sunshine, and gradually during the afternoon, we'll start to see the clouds rolling through, and there could be a light shower. There's 3 o'clock with a sprinkle or two up near the Virginia line. There's 5 o'clock, and again, another sprinkle or two rolls through. But at this point, it looks like between 8 and 9 o'clock, the rain is still up to our north. We'll get a lot more runs of the computer computer models in. So we'll be watching that very closely, especially in terms of the Durham Bulls home opener. All right, we take a look at Friday. There's Friday evening at 5 o'clock. And again, everything's looking nice and dry. We move things ahead. And it does look like that we'd see some showers approaching us on Saturday morning. The bulk of that's going to be around the middle of the day and then moving out during the evening. The newer runs of the computer models have a little less rain. That's great news for folks who are headed to Dreamville. It's something that we'll be watching very closely, looking at 81 degrees. No matter what, it's probably going to be a muddy mess because it won't take that much rain to make it very muddy. It'll still be pretty sloppy out there on Sunday, but Sunday we'll at least see sunshine and a high of 68.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A new study sheds light on the most skilled European painters. Coming up, how the old masters composed classic art.
And here's a look at your winning Mega Millions numbers. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The 20-year-old accused of hitting and killing an 11-year-old in the Raleigh Christmas parade is now in jail. This morning, the judge gave Landon Glass a $250,000 bond after he was indicted on an involuntary manslaughter charge. Glass will be on house arrest if he bonds out, and the judge also said that he will not be allowed to drive in our state unless he has an inspected vehicle.
State lawmakers today successfully overrode Governor Roy Cooper's veto of a bill repealing the requirement for a pistol permit. The move makes it easier for people to buy handguns in North Carolina without having to undergo a background check by their local sheriff. It is the first veto override since 2018.
This morning, the FDA approved the first over-the-counter opioid overdose antidote. The nasal spray contains naloxone, which is the generic for Narcan. It will come in a package of two doses. That's in case the person overdosing does not respond to the first dose. The FDA commissioner says the approval is meant to increase access to the medicine.
Leonardo da Vinci's paintings may have had a secret ingredient. Old masters like da Vinci and other European painters used egg yolk in their oil paintings. Trace quantities of protein were detected in the classic pieces of art. The egg yolk is believed to show brush strokes differently, making the paint more resistant to humidity. Scientists originally believed it to be from contamination, but now say it was intentional.
Very fascinating.
Isn't it? The fact that they did the study on it at all to get that kind of chemistry out of it, the egg yolk provided the protein.
Right.
That's what they figured out it was. Pretty neat.
We have some cloudy skies out there right now and a lot cooler than what you might think the spring day would be. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking our forecast for us.
We're running a little below normal. Normal high for today is 67 degrees, and we're only going to make it up into the low 60s this afternoon. We're seeing a mix of sun and clouds, and it's a little bit breezy, but our wind is coming out of the north today. That's what's keeping our temperatures below normal. Tomorrow, we start the switch to southerly, and we're looking at temperatures climbing into the upper 60s. 76 on Friday and 81 on Saturday look great. I think Friday's going to end up staying dry until fairly late in the evening, but Saturday it looks like a front comes through and that front will bring us a chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms, and it could make it quite muddy and messy for the Dreamville Festival.
Yeah, Saturday could be quite windy as well. All right, Elizabeth, we'll keep watching for that. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.